these duties and responsibilities for fiduciaries, you really need to consider those, you know, whether it's fiduciaries, whether it's duties given to the fiduciary in the document or at common law, you know, even for simple estate plans, who the clients choose to appoint as a fiduciary is super important. It's important for them to also understand that whoever they're appointing, you know, they're going to be, this fiduciary is going to be held to a high standard under the law. Those fiduciary duties we talked, you know, we learned about way back in law school, you know, those are real. And, you know, trustees get sued over not keeping up with things all the time. So, you know, just kind of harping to clients that these fiduciaries that you're choosing in your documents is really important, and they are tasked with some important stuff. So just making sure that clients understand that and really what it means to uphold those duties. So just talk about a few of the, you know, fiduciary duties that I kind of advise clients on when we're having our first initial meeting. The first is duty of care. And I really ask clients to consider, you know, how careful, how skilled, how competent is this proposed fiduciary that you're thinking about? Do you really think they're going to be able to prudently administer this trust or these, you know, this estate or these assets? That person is going to be held to that prudent investor rule that, you know, we learned about back in law school, and how that person or entity, you know, could be liable for not complying with that prudent investor rule. They could be held liable for not taking appropriate care of assets. In the case of a special needs trust, there's a lot of knowledge that really goes into that. You know, maybe the beneficiary has significant needs requiring a focus on income to support increased cash flow, or there might be assets in the trust or estate that require special knowledge to administer, oil, gas, minerals. It's important for the client to think through and consider exactly how the administration of the trust or estate is actually going to play out. Again, is that proposed fiduciary careful, skilled, and competent to actually carry out the document? The second duty, you know, I kind of harp on clients is the duty of loyalty. And I kind of group that together with a duty of impartiality. Will the proposed fiduciary that you're thinking about be capable of always putting their personal interests aside and administering the assets solely in the beneficiary's best interest? Maybe there's certain beneficiaries who are more persistent or communicative or aggressive in making requests to these proposed fiduciaries. So it sounds easy, but when it comes down to it, you know, it's really hard sometimes for a fiduciary to set aside any personal biases they might have against a beneficiary, especially with family members or, you know, with people who have longstanding histories, who really, really know each other. There's one case that we cited in our paper. I think it was a court of appeals case out of the Tyler Circuit, and the executor of this estate purchased an estate asset at, you know, just below fair market value, and of course they got sued on it. So they, you know, weren't looking out for the beneficiary's best interest, and they got sued on it. So always is, again, that question that I try to harp on with clients is, you know, is that proposed fiduciary going to be able to put aside their own personal vendetta or, you know, personal opinions about the beneficiaries and administer it solely to their benefit? The last duty I'll kind of hit on, as I'm kind of running out of time here, the duty of full disclosure is another one that I really try to drive home with clients. You know, is the proposed fiduciary realistically going to be able to keep and maintain detailed records of the account, of the assets, of the transactions? And are they going to be able to effectively communicate that to the beneficiaries and regularly communicate important information concerning the account and assets. You know, sometimes I represent beneficiaries on the back end. I don't think I've ever had a beneficiary tell me, well, this trustee or administrator communicates with me too much. They give me too much information. They bombard me with financial statements and they just tell me too much. I don't really care to know as much as they're telling me. I don't think I've ever had a beneficiary client tell me that. It's always the exact opposite, right? It's, I haven't been provided an accounting in 5 years, or this trustee or executor didn't even let me know that they were selling an asset of the estate or of the trust. So I tell clients when they're thinking about, you know, who to appoint as a fiduciary, it's really important that this fiduciary is going to be, you know, able to fully disclose very frequently, I say, any information about the trust or the estate to the beneficiary. And I think it's important that that person would over communicate. It just makes beneficiaries just feel so much better when there's someone else, you know, managing assets that they're the ultimate beneficiary of. So that is one kind of issue that does pop up very frequently. And, you know, also, I'll mention this, it's important for this fiduciary to, you know, hold on to receipts, as silly as that sounds, whenever they're going to be responsible for accounting, save all the receipts. Again, I've represented beneficiaries where, you know, statements or accountings haven't been provided for years. And it's important for the client to remember that duty of full disclosure that they're really putting on who they choose as a fiduciary is super important. So those are just some of the questions and considerations that I walk through together with clients. And it often helps clients to really, you know, think through whether the person that they are thinking of appointing is going to have the ability to shoulder all of this responsibility and potential liability, really. And when I'm having that conversation with clients, it's depending on the circumstances, or, you know, if I'm kind of getting bad vibes from the client when they're talking about the proposed fiduciary, sometimes I bring up the possibility of at least considering appointing a corporate fiduciary.